Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
After what is maybe the greatest game in Grizzly playoff history, this series tied now 2 games apiece. What a night in Memphis. We'll talk about Game 4 in the legendary Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, and yes, Andrew Harrison performances, all of that on the way. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies for this very special Monday. My name is Peter Edmiston, and we've been doing this for the entire season, and I've been covering the Grizzlies now for basically since they've arrived in Memphis. So I think all but 1 year I was covering the Grizzlies. So seeing every playoff game live, all that stuff, I've been thinking about it all day, really, throughout Sunday, and trying to figure out the best way to talk about what we saw on Saturday. It was a remarkable, incredible occasion. And if you were down there at FedEx Forum, as I was, then you really consider yourself lucky. It's one of those nights when you are just thrilled to be on planet Earth watching basketball. If you love the game, it was one of the great games you will see. More or less from start to finish. And the finish, though, amped it up considerably. The last 5 minutes plus overtime was incredible, intense, edgier seat stuff, sent people to prayers, everything you would want. It was just awesome, man. I really felt truly blessed to be able to watch that kind of a game. And to see the Grizzlies, especially, it's like to watch a team come through in that kind of situation, in that kind of adversity, withstanding a remarkable performance from Kawhi Leonard, truly an MVP level performance on both ends of the court, took the game over defensively late, 2 big steals. Hit every shot, was just off the charts good. All you could say it scared the hell out of you, to use Mike Conley's terms. But the Grizzlies somehow withstood that and got an air ball from Kawhi to end regulation that would have won the game and forced a turnover late in overtime. And ultimately got a leaning, off-balance, pretty ugly Marc Gasol shot that went in to cap off what was a pretty bad game for him, but will be remembered amongst the very best Grizzly shots of all time because of what it meant to win that game. The performer, of course, of the night was Mike Conley. Conley was just, you run out of superlatives for Mike Conley because really, you have so many different people that want to talk about Kawhi. And Kawhi was, he's in the middle of MVP discussion. He's a bigger star, et cetera, et cetera. Mike Conley took that game by the scruff of the neck very early on and didn't let go. Was just scintillating. And to see his full evolution, the maturation of Mike from what he was when he arrived as a rookie to what he has become now is absolutely incredible. And, for those of us that have covered the guy from day one and have gotten to know him, you root for him. You root for him because he's just a terrific dude. And, he's as mild-mannered off the court as you would expect, but he's a real, honest-to-God competitor and has turned into a real confident competitor now. And that is to be commended from David Fizdale's perspective. Because that stuff, you know, we can talk about, and I can give you, and I have given you over the course of this podcast, lots and lots and lots of numbers to back all that stuff up. But it really comes from within with Mike. It comes from his heart. The dude believes it in a way that he didn't before. You know, he had to learn and learn the hard way very early on. And Lionel Hollins was brutalizing him. Because it was like one of those, you know, overbearing father figure type things. He really saw something in Conley and he just wanted to get it out, but it wasn't quite time. And then as Conley has gotten more and more mature, and we've seen flashes of it in games, we've seen moments, we've seen playoff games. And of course, you know, you can never question the guy's toughness. That's, you know, unbelievable. The resilience and fortitude that he showed with the broken face, broken back, et cetera. You know, the guy's played hurt, you know, virtually his entire career. But to see it now come to fruition on the court in one of those performances that was magnificent, 13 to 23, 35 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. My God, what a stat line that is for Mike Conley. And it's completely accurate. If anything, it understates his role. He was everywhere, doing everything in those minutes that he was out there, to the point where he really exhausted himself. And he, you know, he knew that he was going to have to be very careful about using his energy late in the game, especially. Now, the stat for Mike Conley in what he means in this series is this one. If you look at the Grizzlies' net rating, and again, net rating is points scored minus points allowed per 100 possessions. So that is adjusted for pace and all that stuff. It is per 100 possessions. There you go. Mike Conley, the Grizzlies' net rating when he's on court this series is a plus 4.2. So they're 4.2 points per 100 possessions better than the Spurs with Mike Conley on the court. And that's saying something considering the overall net rating is something like minus 9.2 for the series. Really, you know, bolstered by that huge game one where the Spurs really dominated. That second half there was pretty ugly. So, reminder, Mike Conley on court this series, Grizzlies plus 4.2 in terms of net rating. When he is off the court, 54 minutes that he is off the court. Get ready for this. Sit down. If you're standing, why are you standing listening to the podcast? If you're running right now and listening to this, stop running for a second. With Mike Conley off the court, the Grizzlies are minus 44.7. Minus 44.7. That is absurd. That is mind-blowing. They are incredibly, incredibly bad with Mike Conley not out there. 44.7 points per 100 possessions worse than the Spurs. That is almost unfathomable. But it is true. When Mike goes out, everything goes out. That's like mind. And it's a small sample size. But guess what? The playoffs are a small sample size. Everything's a small sample size. So we just have to accept that and roll with it. I can tell you that the eye test certainly agrees with the conclusion here. Mike Conley is everything for the Grizzlies. And if you're wondering why he went out with about 7 minutes left in that little stretch where the Grizzlies were up and then they gave up that 10-point lead, because he needed to rest. The dude was going to exhaust himself out, and he knew that. And he knew that he wasn't going to be able to leave the game. Once, you know, you get below 6 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that, whenever you come back in, at that point you're in for good. And, you know, he wanted to make sure that he had enough energy, and then that turned out to be crucial. It's a shame that the Grizzlies couldn't hold on to that lead, but it led to the game being as incredible as it was. at the end. And of course, I would imagine by now you guys have seen it all many, many times over. If you're listening to this podcast, there's no question you've probably watched it and rewatched it and rewatched it, because it's worth rewatching. It holds up. You know, I found myself watching the entire game again, like it was live. You know, like getting into the ups and downs of it, just like you. Yeah, you know, and it's so rare that you do that for a game that's been recorded, but it was one of those games, man. Just incredible. It's incredible. That's all I can say. And to watch the Grizzlies withstand a game where they turned the ball over 23 times, 16 in the second half in overtime, they somehow withstand that. They withstand what are – they look okay on the box score, the games from Zebo and Marc Gasol, but they weren't. They weren't very good, really, by their standards. Certainly Zebo looked a lot more like the kind of just okay player that we saw coming off the bench sometimes this year. Looked a lot more like that than he did the superstar – Game 6, 2011 Zebo that we saw in Game 3. So it's not all perfect. And you know, the Spurs were really hampered and hurt by the fact that Dwayne Dedmon couldn't play. He got sick. And that he's their best interior defender at this point. And so, you know, you take him out of the mix. David Lee got the start, and actually worked out pretty well, surprisingly well to start with, at least. As Lee, for the most part, was able to withstand what was an off night from Zach Randolph. The Grizzlies had to make some adjustments early on because the Spurs really worked that pick and roll, that very high pick and roll. They started it even higher to try to get Tony Parker ahead of steam and to force the Grizzlies into rotations, which they did, and that led to a 24-14 lead before Mike Conley, you know, basically went on a 9-0 personal run to bring the game back into focus for the Grizzlies. It was one of those adjustments that, you know, they had to make a little bit of a switch off and force Marc Gasol to guard David Lee, put him in the screen, and get him closer to that driver. Had to be a little bit more cognizant of the fact that the dropping back was allowing that space for the mid-range game, and they picked up on it, you know. And I asked Fizdale after the game about that, and he said, you know, we weren't gonna bail out, in his words. He said, we're going to bail out by, you know, going to something new and making an adjustment that we hadn't really, you know, worked on. He said, because we just weren't executing what we had talked about executing. So we weren't doing the stuff that we had said we were going to do. So I wanted to make sure we did that. And that's kind of what they did. They didn't make any major schematic switches, but they were able to kind of rein that in and then get control of the game. At that point, where the Grizzlies maintained a decent level of control for the bulk of the game, and then things got a little weird at the end. You know, all you can say is to withstand that kind of a game and that kind of a performance from Kawhi, and for the Grizzlies to still win. I think now you have to really be honest with yourself and say this team can win this series. You know, this team now, I don't know, even if after Game 3, you know, it looked like, based on what we had seen at the end of Game 2 and then what we watched in Game 3, you kind of thought, okay, they might be onto something here. There might be something there. But now you could see after Game 4 where, you know, it was a very even game, as the score would indicate. I mean, you know, when it's 110-108 in overtime, you know, it's an even game. But the Grizzlies maintained pretty good control for most of it. I would say they outplayed them, you know, for the bulk of the game. So now you're talking about having outplayed the Spurs for more of the series than the Spurs have outplayed the Grizzlies. If you're looking at this like a boxing match, you know, we are, what, 7 or 8 rounds into a 12-round fight? Yeah, like 7. And, you know, I would say the Grizzlies, if you're going round by round, are up 4-3 or even, you know, 5-2 in terms of rounds. It doesn't reflect that in the games played situation in the in those kinds of things, but it does in the actual quality of the play itself. The Grizzlies have found something, and the Spurs don't really have a good solution for it. Spurs don't really have a good solution for Mike Conley, first of all. And there were some interesting little tweaks that happened in Game 4 that I want to talk about that allow for the Grizzlies to kind of, you know, have a little bit of something extra that they could throw in there. You know, number one that we saw in terms of a tweak was the insertion of Troy Daniels into the game late. That was really a fascinating and ultimately it was a game-changing decision from David Fizdale to go ahead and throw him back into the mix. You know, Daniels, I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to play at all in the series. But lo and behold, he comes in, and really he came in predicated on the fact that he wouldn't have to be and he wouldn't be a defensive liability as long as Manu Ginobili's on the floor. Manu Ginobili has not hit a shot this series, has missed wide open threes horribly, has missed them by miles, doesn't look like he wants the ball, doesn't look like he wants to shoot. He looks a little bit out of it mentally, like he's you know, a little flustered, and that has allowed for the Grizzlies to defend him kind of like, you know, not quite Tony Allen-esque Warriors and all that, but it's pretty close. I mean, they've left him quite open, and he's not come close to making them pay. So when he's out there, Fizdale and I whoever, you know, whether it was him or one of the assistants or whoever actually did it, it was very wise to say, well, why don't we just throw Troy Daniels out there? I mean, he's not a great defender, but, you know, if Manu's out there, then what does it matter? Throw him on Manu and you're good to go. And that's exactly what happened. And then Daniels comes out, hits threes, and that allows, reminds the Spurs that the Grizzlies do have that shooting threat. And his threat then was critical very late in the game. In fact, the two game-defining plays, apart from the Andrew Harrison block, which we'll talk about in a second, the two game-defining plays were aided in large part by Troy Daniels being out there. The game-tying shot from Mike Conley came as a result of Troy Daniels to a large part because Conley and Daniels kind of sets a screen up at the top, and they get the switch. Conley was originally guarded by Kawhi. It would have been much harder to hit that shot. But Tony Parker on Daniels switches off, and, you know, Kawhi was caught kind of in two minds. He really, I think, instinctively wanted to stay with Mike Conley, but that wasn't the scheme. And so he didn't do it, and he went back. Plus, he knew that Troy Daniels was right there. And if he doesn't go and stay with him, all Conley's got to do is dish it off to Troy Daniels, best three-point shooter on the floor. Three-pointer would have won the game at that point. So Kawhi's got to be mindful of that. So he has to back off a little bit. Then you saw what happened. Mike Conley drives in on Tony Parker, much easier matchup for him, and he scores the game-tying basket. Fast forward to the end of overtime, tied at 108. Same kind of situation. Marc Gasol gets the ball with the elbow catch and immediately turns right shoulder, drives in to get the basket on Aldridge. But if you look, Kawhi Leonard was in excellent position to help, to double, to provide some serious assistance. And he thinks about it, but once again, he is held back and neutralized by the threat of Troy Daniels, who's standing right outside the three-point line. And Kawhi has to stay with him. And so that opens up, again, the opportunity for that to be singled and to not have Kawhi involved in the play. His presence out there, even though he didn't get a touch in those sequences, his presence neutralized the best defender on the floor and, you know, arguably the MVP of the regular season. That's an enormous, enormous feather in the cap of the coaching staff. That was a really good decision, and it worked out really well. Another feather in Fizdale's cap this year is Andrew Harrison. We talked about the chase down block that he had after that steal and that run out in overtime turned into a massive sequence. Massive sequence. 5-point swing. And it was just all about chasing down Patty Mills, not giving up on the play, all that stuff. You know, Mike Conley had a couple of rough turnovers, the only real smudges on the resume. And one of those was erased by Harrison. Harrison comes down, and I mean, it was a hell of an athletic play from a guy who's not known for speed or athleticism. He comes out and blocks Patty Mills and immediately starts that fast break that ends up with the Marc Gasol and one. Huge, huge turn of events. Absolutely massive. And, Harrison played well. But really, you know, the Grizzlies still are playing with fire whenever he's out there and Mike Conley isn't. Now, the interesting thing, though, and this just kind of, bolsters some of what Fizdale's been doing, the idea to move Mike Conley over and get Mike Conley off the ball more, when Harrison and Conley play together in this series so far, it's been 34 minutes of action that those two guys have played together. Mike Conley's numbers are phenomenal out there, shooting-wise. The team, first of all, they play unbelievably slowly when they're out there together. I mean, like, glacial when Harrison's really running the show. But Conley's got a usage rate of 38% in those situations, but he scores 1.3 points per possession, which is huge. He scored 28 points in those 34 minutes that he's been out there with Andrew Harrison. And the team has a 133 offensive rating in those minutes and allows 101.8 defensively, which means they are, in terms of net rating, plus 31 in those 34 minutes, which tells you, again, granted, small sample size and all that, but it tells you the importance of being able to have somebody out there that can allow Mike to move off the ball, which Harrison can do. And it also shows that Harrison, defensively is holding his own, is doing a pretty terrific job, particularly inside the arc. When guys drive, he's physical, which helps, bumps them off their lines a little bit. And I think he's really held up well in that role. That's to Fizdale's credit. That's what he envisioned for Andrew Harrison when no one else did. It's his faith has been rewarded. Harrison at two big free throws, very late in the game, in addition to the chase down block. I mean, it's been Andrew Harrison who was critical in that overtime stretch. He was critical. And all of that faith that Fizdale's put in him throughout the year really was repaid and then some with that stretch of time. Very impressed with him and impressed with the decision to roll with him no matter what. I still think, you could improve that position. But look, to get what you're getting out of Andrew Harrison now is remarkable development. And that's to the great credit of the coaching staff and to David Fizdale in particular for that kind of vision going forward. Bear in mind also that still at this stage in the series, the best player for the Grizzlies, net rating and everything else, has been Jermichael Green by a mile, by an absolute mile. It's not even close. On court, he is number one with a bullet. Number two is Wayne Selden, actually. Number three is Mike Conley in terms of on court. The Grizzlies, so far, again, in the 80 minutes that Jermichael Green has played in this series, 20 minutes a game, the Grizzlies are plus 18 net rating in those minutes. And they are minus 27.5 in the minutes that he is off. But more importantly, the offense, the Grizzlies in this series have had an offensive rating of 102.6 overall. 102.6. But when Jermichael Green's on the court, that jumps up to 123.8. That's a huge jump. 123.8. And when he's off the court, that number drops to 5.6. So you could see the difference offensively is very, very stark. Green, again, allows those lineups that are out there for whatever reason, whether he's playing, and I thought he was very effective alongside Zach Randolph, actually, in game four. But his ability, you know, he does space the floor, sure. That certainly helps. It provides that spacing that's out there. But he's also versatile. And, you know, he showed the ability to pull up, which was nice in game four. He also did a great job on the offensive glass, which is another reason. You know, he can get a lot of putbacks. He had that lob dunk from Mike Conley, the alley-oop. He can do a lot of things. He's very athletic. And the Grizzlies don't have a lot of athletic, strong, quick-type guys. He can be that guy. So I don't think it's a fluke that those minutes have been excellent for the Grizzlies. And, you know, him coming off the bench, he is really taken to it and has played so much better in the postseason coming off the bench than he did in the regular season in the limited minutes that happened for him. So I think, again, kudos to David Fizdale for helping Jermichael Green to grow into this role, which has been huge for him. He certainly wasn't envisioned anything like this at the beginning of the year, and now he is on the cusp of getting himself well paid as a restricted free agent after this thing is all said and done. So, again, a really impressive performance from him. He played his ass off. He was out there. He was defending smalls, bigs, you name it, on defense. He was working like crazy. And again, offensively, very, very good at helping smooth things along. I think he's the unsung hero for the Grizzlies. I really do. And, you know, he deserves a big tip of the cap for his performance, not only in this game, but throughout the series. So I want to say a big thank you, of course, to our friends at Grizz Essentials, grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies to help celebrate. If you want to really take your fandom and your appreciation of all this to the next level, then there you go. Head to that site, grizzessentials.com. Look over there. Look at the beautiful stuff. Look at the cool things. I saw so many folks down there with great shirts on Saturday and, of course, last Thursday, and a lot of them. And I saw a few in Grizz Essentials shirts, which is awesome. So please check that out if you haven't done it already, grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. We're going to talk a little bit more about the strategy side of it tomorrow on the pod as we preview the huge Game 5 itself with the Grizzlies and every opportunity to win the series. I mean, it's there. It's there for them. Going to have to win one on the road. Probably easier to win Game 5 than Game 7, but going to have to win one of them. And it's there. The template of this, we saw it against the Clippers five seasons ago in that first round series. And, you know, they lost that first game big in that series, lost very closely in game two, and then won four straight. The series starting to resemble that a great deal. So we'll talk about the strategy side of it and all of that coming up on the pod tomorrow. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Monday. Enjoy thinking about that legendary game. It was incredible. And enjoy this series because it has been a treat to check out, certainly the last two especially. So big thank you again, and enjoy it. We'll chat again tomorrow. In the meantime, have a great Monday.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.